Jesus, we're gathered here again tonight, Lord Jesus, just seeking your face, Lord, to hear what you would say to us tonight, Lord. We have confidence, Father, that you will come and speak tonight, Lord, because it's according to your word. We just take you at your word, Lord. We believe it, Father. And Lord, tonight, Lord, we just meet the needs again, Father, as we assemble here, Lord Jesus, to come closer to you, Father, to learn what you would have say to us tonight, Lord. There's some missing tonight, Lord Jesus. I just pray you'd bless them wherever they're at, whatever is going on with them. Just keep it in your will, Lord Jesus, and take care of whatever their needs would be right now. And for all of us here, Lord, we just stand before you now, Lord, just, Lord, opening our hearts to you that you can speak and that we can hear your voice and we can be more like you, Lord Jesus. That's our heart's desire. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew, the 27th chapter, I'm going to read a few verses and be seated. Matthew 27. It's good to see everyone who can make it out tonight. Hope you all having a wonderful week. It's summertime. It's the best time of the year. I always get an amen from Brother Cody on that. It's a good time. Matthew 27 and 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus saith unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Look at that. He was accused of all kinds of horrible things, and he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You may be seated. Pilate marveled greatly because here they were accusing him of all kinds of stuff, and he just stood there and never once defended himself. So they could say what they want. It's not my job to defend my own flesh. What an example. What an example he was for us, because that's the way we sing that song, to be like Jesus, right? That's to be like Jesus. How many people really want to be like Jesus? When someone is accusing you, saying all manner of evil against you, calling you whatever, and you just sit there and don't say a thing back. Should I tell you what that is? That is liberty. That is liberty. And tonight we're going to kind of pick up where we left off Sunday. We're going to talk about liberty. What is freedom? What does it mean to be free? What does it mean? We talked about how the Declaration of Independence, right? We said we were free. Then we had to go fight the war to prove it. When you stand and say, I'm a born-again Christian, you are making a Declaration of Independence. And you're saying, I am no longer under the tyranny, under the control of my own nature. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I am free from control of that nature I was born with. I'm born again, and now Christ controls me instead of my own nature. I am free. Amen. And your own nature steps up and says, don't think so. Your own nature says, you're going to have to prove that to me. And the battle rages. And that's where the battle is. Now, with that being in mind, who is your worst enemy? You are. You are your own worst enemy. Why? Because the only person that can keep you from going to heaven is yourself. Nobody else in the entire world, nothing else in the entire world can keep you from going to heaven. It's up to you. It really is. And so when you come, if you don't make it and you're standing there on judgment day and you have your long list of excuses why you didn't get it, you might as well just pull out a mirror and say, I am the reason that I'm here. Because you make the choice. Oh, no, I see. You don't understand how I was raised. Don't matter. You don't understand what my dad was like. Don't matter. You don't understand how poor I was. It don't matter. You don't understand what happened to me. It doesn't matter. You still make the choice. It's you deciding if you want to go to heaven or not. You ain't going to blame that on somebody else.
What did Jesus say? He said, don't be afraid of him who can kill the body and can't touch the soul. Be afraid of him who can kill the body and send the soul to hell. And there's only one person to do that, and that's Jesus Christ. He will judge you and send you to hell. Why? Because you chose to not believe his word. That's all it is. It's really that simple. Don't make it any harder. You say, well, I just couldn't overcome my desires. I couldn't overcome this. I couldn't overcome. Okay, well, that was your choice. It was. You chose to be a slave to your own self. You loved yourself more than Christ. That's what it's going to come down to. You know what happens when I say, well, I can't overcome this thing. I can't overcome it. I'm saying, I just love myself too much right now. I know that doesn't make you feel very good, but that's exactly the truth. I have this besetting sin. I can't overcome it. I still love my own nature too much. Wow. Not free yet. Not free. Now let me tell you what. That's the battle. You say, well, if that's the case, am I really born again? Yes, you are born again. That is the battle. Remember we said Sunday, after they declared independence, the British said, no, you're not free. And we had to fight the British to win our independence. It's the same thing here. When you say, I'm born again, and the devil says, no, you're not. And you say, yes, I am. And then the battle starts because you got to walk this walk and show to yourself mainly that you really are born again. You got to prove to yourself mainly that you are an overcomer. Jesus Christ knows you're an overcomer. He said you were. The word says you are. But so many times we doubt it because we see the mess that we can't overcome yet. And we start wondering if I'm really born again, surely I'd overcome this. Well, of course you will, but it ain't gonna happen today. Some of the things you're gonna overcome, you'll be overcoming the day you take the rapture. Because we are in this old nature and Satan has a shot at coming at you. He has a right to it. And you have a right to deny him. This is why you don't judge yourself by how your flesh lives. And stop judging other people about how their flesh lives. Because we are going to make mistakes. The only question is, what do you do after you make your mistake? Do you believe the devil's lie and say, you better feel bad and you better just lay there and wallow around in your misery for a while? Or do you say, I repent, I'm forgiven, I'm going on? And you know what happens? Your old flesh is like feeling bad and you feel so miserable, and you should feel miserable. I ain't going to feel bad about that. Well, you should. If you've done something stupid or wrong or evil, whatever, you should feel bad about it. But that has nothing to do with you going on in faith and claiming the word and keep moving forward. Just because you're feeling bad doesn't mean you have to act like it. Let me say that again. Just because you're feeling bad doesn't mean you have to walk around acting like you feel bad. Let me say something else here. Just because someone hurts your feelings don't mean you have to walk around with your feelings hurt. Well, he hurt my feelings. Okay. What about it? Because what got hurt? Your new nature or your old nature? Was it your new nature that got hurt? Was your new nature that got offended? Was it your new nature that got disrespected? Did it feel that bad? Now, let me tell you what. The Holy Spirit can get grieved sometime. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when your old feelings get hurt. And now we want to protect our old feelings. See, that's tyranny. You are under the tyranny, under the kingship, under the headship of your old nature's feelings. Brother and sister, you want to die to yourself? Start there. And you'll be fighting that battle the rest of your life. Because our feelings are very powerful. Very powerful. And all our old nature needs to do is get us to react to those old feelings. And that's where we have to overcome. Let me give you an example. Some scenarios, see if we can make this point. Let's say that I am afraid of my house being broken into at night. All right? I'm terrified of it. I'm just making this up. I'm not really, but let's say I am. All right? And so what I do, I get an alarm system. I get extra locks on my doors. I put iron bars across my windows. I get a couple guns and put them underneath my bed. and I walk around, I look at my house and say, I'm pretty secure in here. I can lay down and go to sleep and be at peace. Have I overcome my fear? No, I have not. All I've done is protected it. I protected it. I kept it safe down in my spirit realm so that I don't have to come up and be uncomfortable when my fear shows up. And so I put in all these man-made ways to keep my fear at bay so I can live with my fear without overcoming it. Because if you took all those man-made protections away, I'd lay there terrified at night. I'd be standing by my door looking out the window or fine because I'd be scared. That fear was still there. I didn't overcome anything. I'm still a slave to that fear. It controls me. When I've overcome is when I can go to bed, lay on my front porch and not be afraid. Let me give you another scenario. You get a new neighbor moves in next door to you. And every day, every weekend, he gets drunk and he plays his music really loud from like 11 o'clock to 3 in the morning. Boom, 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 boom. And you're laying there in bed and you are just tore up. Man, I wish he'd shut up. I can't get any sleep around here. So what do? You call the police. The police show up and they have the, hey, listen, your neighbors are complaining. You need to turn your music down. He turns his music down. Oh, I can sleep. What did you overcome? Nothing. You didn't overcome anything. You just got your circumstances changed. See, this is what happens so many times. Is we pray, God, I got this problem. I need to overcome this. And we say, God, what we're asking to do is please change the circumstances. Change the circumstances because I don't like dealing with them the way they are. That is not overcoming. No, it isn't. Overcoming is like this. You're sick and tired of getting all tore up because your neighbor is playing his music loud. And you hate the way you feel because you know what you're doing? He's influenced by an evil spirit. And so to fight that, you get an evil spirit yourself. So you're fighting evil with evil. That is not what we're trying to do, folks. Someone gets mad and sassing me off. I take a bad spirit and I sass him back. I'm protecting myself. That isn't overcoming. But you know what happens after a while? You start praying about this. You say, God, I hated this neighbor doing this. But you know what? I hate worse the way I react to it. He's grieving me. He's grieving the Holy Spirit away from me because I'm choosing to get a bad attitude and fuss and fume and stew about it instead of just putting in God's hand and letting it go. But I can't sleep. Can I tell you something right now? That neighbor was not an accident to move in there. God moved him in there because he knew that you had to overcome something. And he's not going to change that until you change. And so you start putting it in God's hand. And after a while, you wake up one night at midnight and the music is going. And you feel that irritation. You say, you know what? I'm going to put on my earplugs and go back to sleep. I'm not even going to let it bother me. Not going to get stirred up about it. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. It's okay. You can get annoyed. You can get angry. You can feel all these things, but you don't have to react to it. You don't have to. You can sit there in your soul as knowing who you are, the real you, and look at that and say, that is my old nature. That's not me. I'm not going to react. I don't care if it hurts. I don't care if it annoys me. I don't care if it makes me mad. I have all these feelings. I'm going to sit there and watch it. That person just cussed me out. That person just did this to whatever he did. And I can say, you know what? I want to, so with all my heart, with all my old spirit, I want to jump up and just tear him into, and I'm going to just sit there and be quiet like Jesus did. You know what's going to happen? That guy plays his music. You say, you know what? It annoys me. I'm not going to react. I'm just go back, put a pillow across my head, and go back to sleep. Several weeks later, someone's at your house and it's late at night and they say, boy, that music is loud. And you say, oh man, I didn't even think about it. What happened now? You've overcome that old something in there that says when someone irritates me, I have to react some way. You know what happens a week later? The guy moves away. It was never about him anyways. It was about you. You overcoming your own nasty nature, your old flesh, your old desire to defend yourself. So many times we went, God, if you just take this change of circumstances, I could be a believer. What if you struggle with sexual lust? You walk down the street and you see someone of the opposite sex walking down, they're all dressed all sexy. God, if you would just take all the sexy people off earth, I'd be fine. He ain't gonna do it. Brother Bram said there are people who are high passion. They're always in trouble. He says they see someone's dressed sexy or something, and they're always in trouble. Brother and sister, those people, they cannot change their circumstances. What are you gonna do, hide in your house the rest of your life? Go be a monk in a monastery somewhere? No, brother and sister, you have to overcome. This is about overcoming. You have to take control of the situation by the inner man taking control of the outer man. That's how you overcome. And when that thing rises up inside of you, you got to look at that and say, who am I really? Who do I identify with? Who do I go to fight my battles? Where do I go to stand and decide who am I going to defend? Am I going to defend Christ or am I going to defend my own self? That's how you overcome. That's how you get free. That's what freedom is. When you say, I'm born again, you're saying, I have declared my independence. I am no longer a slave to my own desires, to my own flesh, to my own needs, my own lusts, and everything else that's inside. And then you go prove it. And you fight that battle the rest of your life. The rest of your life. Brother Dave, I'm going to pick on you again, buddy. Countless people have had a problem with the way Brother David acts in church. They complain to Brother Jerry. They complain to me. They complain to their neighbors. They complain to everyone across the United States. And they wanted Brother Jerry to do something about it. Why don't you tell him to sit down and be quiet? I've been to times when I sat in my pew back there and I'm thinking the same thing. David, would you just stop? When I was backslid. When I had a bad attitude anyways. Can I tell you something? I probably said this before. When I've done a lot of song leading in this church. I used to be the song leader, all right? Hundreds of times. I've preached many sermons here. Many times when I was song leading or many times when I was preaching, the anointing was there and David was acting out. You know how many times the Holy Spirit was grieved? None. Never once. Now, when I was sitting out there, sometimes I grieved my old spirit. But when I was up here preaching or leading songs and David is shouting and doing all his dancing and stuff, the Holy Spirit was never grieved. You can tell if the Holy Spirit is grieved when you're up here. Now, I can see a lot of people's expressions out there and they were grieved. And how many times have there been conferences in the back room about this with different people and David's doing this and David's doing that and whatever. And this was even before he was born again. Boy, that used to get all over people. Sorry, David. He'd be out there drinking, getting high, running around and coming to church and he'd dance and he'd shout and he'd praise God. People would say, what a hypocrite. Who is the bigger hypocrite? That person who claimed to be born again and finding fault with that, or the dead person who's not trying to be anything, he just being who he was. Yeah, that really gets to people's religious goat. Well, you shouldn't jump any higher than you live. Take that quote and sit down in your pew then, because you're not jumping at all. You must be living really low. You want to use that quote? I need to see some joy from you then. People sit there. Okay, let's keep going. Should I tell you what? Let me tell you what. Something about Brother David. He's not going to change that way as long as people in here still get tore up about it. Because it ain't about Brother David. It's about you folks who get tore up about it. That's what it's about. David's just, he's not anointed. He has a gift to worship God. It is. If some of us try to do what he does, we'd go out and make a fool of ourselves. He don't make a fool of himself because he gets in the spirit and he worships like David did in the Bible. If he'd have been there when the Red Sea, when they crossed the Red Sea, he'd have been leading the charge with Miriam and the tambourines down the edge of the Red Sea. That's the gift he has. And you're going to sit there and criticize it because you're too stuck on yourself to get a little freedom? I'm not blasting anyone here. I'm just saying. What are we criticizing for? Because we still have some of our own self in here who's taking control. We're giving control to that thing. And if it still bothers people in here, and it does, I promise you David is going to continue to get up here and preach a sermon before he sings. And it ain't about David getting up and preaching a sermon before he sings. It's about how the people react to it. It hurts my feelings. Get over your feelings. What are you trying to protect? Your own nature? You think we're supposed to change when we worship God because of your own nature? Come on. I don't change the way I preach because of your own nature. Neither does Brother Jerry. You think God's going to change it because it's in a different vessel, a different gift? But I know how it hurts people's feelings. They need to get over those feelings. That's what overcoming is. That's why this church only has like 20 people in instead of 60. Because people like going to a church where they can sit there and be comfortable and not get exposed, and not get their idols exposed, and not sit there and feel like, ooh, he's really getting on me. It's so much better to find a nice, lukewarm, comfortable church to sit in. But you can't go in the rapture, so you got to weigh your options. Weigh your options. What is important to you? Turn to Matthew 16. Let me just read something there. Matthew 16. We're going to start at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, isn't that amazing? Here Jesus told him what was going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to raise the third day. And when it happened, what did the disciples do? Oh my goodness, what's going on? He's dead. We thought he was going to be the Messiah, and now he's dead. And oh my goodness, we don't know what to do. What's going on? Oh, what are we going to do? He had told them what was going to happen. Our prophet did the same thing to us. He told us what was going to happen. He told us what the bride is going to go through. He told us what we're going to have happen in this day. And it's happening, and we're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? What's happening? The church is falling apart. The people are running here and there, and that person's falling away, and that person's falling away. And oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. Oh, shut up and sit down. Praise God. It's happening exactly like he said it was supposed to. My, that's exciting. But my family is falling apart. Jesus said, I came to get a sword. I'm going to separate mother from daughter, father-in-law from son-in-law. I'm going to separate it. I didn't come to bring unity. I came to bring a sword. Your family is going to just be split up over this gospel. And then when it happens, we're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? We're fulfilling scripture. Restore the faith of the fathers back to the children. It's happening. But you got to get rid of all your own ideas, all your own religion, all your own thought, everything that's your own idea. Because when you put that into your religion, you hybrid it. And when you hybrid it, you die. And that's what the ministry does, is come and say, get rid of this stuff. Get rid of your own nature. Get rid of your own thoughts. Get rid of this tyranny where you allow your own nature to control you. Because Jesus Christ has a bride without spot or wrinkle. She says, I only do that which my Father shows me to do. Ain't that powerful? You say, well, how can that be if we're going to be making mistakes? Because it's going to be because, brother and sister, you only use the gift that God given you when the Father shows you how to use it. You're going to make mistakes. But when you have a gift in there, you're not running off trying to do something, trying to create something and try to manufacture something. You just wait for the Holy Spirit to lead you. My. Let's read on here. He said, boy, I shouldn't hit myself so hard. He said that he would be killed and he raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and begun to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Why did Peter say that? Because he loved Jesus. He said, you're not going to die. We are going to take care. We're going to protect you. We love you too much. You're not going to be killed. You're the Messiah. Just a little bit ago, he got the revelation of who he was. Earlier in that chapter, he got the revelation, and Jesus said, he asked who he was. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, no one revealed that to you. You didn't hear that from a preacher. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. What a great thing to say. You know, Peter must have thought like, wow, I've really got something now. And so when Jesus starts saying that, Peter kind of took it on himself to like, no, come on now. I just got a great revelation. This ain't going to happen to you. So what did Jesus say? He turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh my. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. Man, can you imagine? What would you do if Jesus said that to you? We struggle with God every coming to preach in every service. You're a believer. Come on, keep pressing on. You're my child. What if he came up and wanted to say, you know what, Brother David, you're get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Boy, our old nature would pout up, wouldn't it? Like, what? You can't talk to me that way. How unpolitically correct. Don't you know you're hurting my feeling? Man, I would hate to hear that. Why did he say it was an offense? Why did he call him Satan? He said, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He hadn't been born again. He hadn't been converted. And he still was living according to his own nature. And when he heard something he didn't like, he was going up and tell the pastor, no, I'm sorry, brother, but that's not the way we need to run this church. That's what he was doing. Jesus was preaching. He was telling them what's going to happen. He was telling the word that was coming to pass. And he said, I don't think you're running the church right, Jesus. Now, for you to go to Jerusalem and get killed, that's really going to mess up my idea how to run the church. So we're going to change that. He savored the things of men. He savored the things the way he wanted to run it. He was not looking at the word and what the word was supposed to bring forth. He said, I don't want you to die because I love you too much. So let's change the way we run things around here. Jesus said, I only do what the Father showed me. I'm going to go to Calvary. Peter said, let's not do that. Don't go to Calvary. Don't you love us? How can you say that? Don't you want to be with us? We want you here. We don't want to see you die. We don't want you to run the church this way. Because he was looking from his own carnal, personal love, human love. Your human love is one of the biggest detriments you have from serving God. Because you will do just about anything you can to protect your human love. Even if it means going against Christ. And sometimes God has to rip that from us. Because we won't give it up. And you know what? He loves us so much that he will. He'll tear your life down and say, I'm doing this because I love you, child. My. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How do you deny yourself? You die to yourself. When that feeling rises up, you recognize that's my old flesh. My old flesh is trying to protect itself. And it protects itself through anger, through withdrawing, through what's the term I'm looking for? Passive aggression. A good pout. It's a great way to get people to kind of get in line. I'll spread some rumors. I'll make you sorry. I'll get my revenge. What is it? Protecting your old flesh. You said something to hurt my feelings. I ain't going to forget that, Brother Paul. Well, you got me that time, but you better stand by. I'll get you. I had to wait till my dying day. I'm going to get you back. Protecting that old nasty nature. It's a battle, folks. When you're born again, it don't just lay down and say, well, I guess I'm out of here. No, it doesn't. You fight that thing, and who wins? Whoever you feed the most. Whoever you feed the most. So you can sit there and wallow in your circumstances. Man, my boss, I tell you what, he did this and he did that. Man, I'm just, boy, I can't wait till I get a job. I'm going to just spring on. I quit today. Ha, not even going to give you a 2-week notice. Walk out. I'll show him to treat me that way. You sorry excuse for a human being, much less a Christian. Where's your integrity? Where's your self-respect? Don't treat people like that. Well, they treated me that way. Okay, go wallow with them then. Get down in the mud with them. I work with people who are not born again. Some of them hardly even claim to be Christians, and they treat people better than that. And we're born again Christians. Think about it. Well, they hurt my feelings. Yeah, they hurt Jesus' feelings too, and he stood there and didn't say a thing. Now defend yourself or be Christ-like. Oh, by the way, it takes more than just not saying anything. You know what you also have to do? Forgive. You had to forgive. Well, I didn't say anything, Brother Phil. Did you forgive? Well, that's a little bit asking too much. So now you're the tyrant over them. Now you hold them under your control. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to hold that grudge. You're a tyrant. Because you don't give them peace. You know what the Bible says about that? If anyone should hold a grudge, it's Jesus Christ. He has a right to hold a grudge. No one else has a right to hold a grudge. After all I've done for you and you treat me that way, that ain't forgiveness, folks. That ain't forgiveness. That's tyranny. But it hurts. You know what it hurts? Your pride. It's your pride that's hurting. And you know what happens if your pride hurts enough? It dies away. Let it hurt. It kills it. Oh, it'll come back. But it'll kill it. What better thing? You know what? Feel free sometime. Let your pride just completely be dead and off the scene for a while. You will walk around with so much freedom you can't hardly stand yourself. You'll just have peace. You'll just like, I just love people. You been there? Some of you have. Some of you look at me like, what are you talking about? When you get rid of your pride, you're no longer protecting yourself. You just automatically love people. You just want to express it to people. It's such a freedom. It's such a joy. And you look at someone and you see the mess and you just start, you just cry. Said that poor person. You look at a sexy dressed woman and you don't think, man, she looks hot. You think, that poor woman. When you're dead to yourself. I'm not talking some doctrine here. I'm talking experience, brother and sister. I hope you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, get there. Oh, it don't stay all the time because that old nature comes flying back up. Another set of circumstances, here it comes. So you die to it again. But the more you go, the longer it lasts and the stronger you get and the less hold it has. And someone says something that, you know, it used to be at work and someone would say something, boy, I'd shoot right back at them. Smart Alec. Ain't gonna hurt my feelings. Not gonna disrespect me. And it's got to a point a lot of times, not all the time yet, a lot of times someone says something I just like, all right. But those times when I don't just, all right, I feel so grieved. Happened down in Memphis here this last week. Someone said something, and I was not a smart aleck. I just kind of, in a very calm way, just kind of brought up just like a little bit of, don't do that kind of thing. And you would have looked at me and said, boy, that was really calm. But I knew better. I had felt disrespected, and so I had to say something to defend myself. The good thing is I just stayed calm about it instead of getting all riled. So I'd grown a little bit. But I walked out of there knowing, Phil, just shut up. Quit defending yourself. What are you defending? Your own nature? Your own nasty self? Because someone's, and they didn't mean it disrespectful at all. It was a joke, but I still got my little feeling hurt. Wah. What a baby. Say, Phil, this is such little stuff. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little stuff. My. It hurt my feelings. Don't mean you have to walk around with your feelings hurt. You know that person, that neighbor who is blasting his music? Why don't you take this attitude towards him? That poor guy, this is his millennium. This is all he's got. He's going to die and go to hell because this is all he's got right now. The only chance he has is if he sees Christ in me. And if there's something inside thirsting for life, then maybe there's something in me that will trigger that. But if I have a bad attitude towards him and ignore him and treat him like a dog because he's irritating me, I'm dooming him to hell. And one day, when he's standing there at judgment, he sees you up there. He said, why don't you show me Christ? Because you were playing your music too loud. You made me mad. Boy, you're going to feel like a real big person, aren't you? These people who annoy us, God puts them there on purpose. You know, God didn't just bring a whole bunch of people here to Dixon and say, let me just throw these people together and see what happens. Never did it. He picked very carefully who was going to come and go to church here. He is very careful because he needed to get the right people here to rub those rough edges off of us. Yep. Let me just say it right now. Brother David was born into the right family because him and his daddy rub each other's rough edges. And it ain't going to quit until all that old nature is gone. I wish Brother Jim was here I would say it if he was here. I'm not saying it because he's not here. But it's true. And you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing Brother Jim say, you know, I'll preach sometime. He'll say, you know what, that was for me. He don't go and throw it away and just ignore it. He comes up and says, I don't want to be that way. That was for me. That's a son of God. That's the way a child of God does. He doesn't despise a chastening. But Brother Phil, you made me mad. I don't like the way you preach. No, even though you don't like the way you preach, a son of God says, yeah, but it's still true and I still have to accept it. That's the way a child of God reacts. Ain't that exciting when you see yourself doing that? Tore me up today, Brother Jerry, but thank you. Man, I got to go home and get over it. But it was true. You're laughing because you've done that too, haven't you? Yes, you have. That's good. Because a lot of people used to sit in these pews and they couldn't get over it, so they left. That's a horrible place to be. If you left because you couldn't get over the preaching, because it was too rough on you, your old pride couldn't accept it. What a terrible, terrifying place to be. Jesus said, deny himself and take up the cross. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It comes down to that simple. Your own life, your own nature, if you will lose it, let someone trample. Let you be humiliated. It don't come easy. It don't come all at once. It comes over time. What is it? It's a ripening. It's a maturing process. When I was trying to get born again years ago, I wanted that to happen just like that. Boy, when I'm born again, I'll be able to. You know they're not. That's a fantasy. You declare independence. I'm born again. And bam, here they come. Every gun in hell is trained against you. That's what Brother Branham said. Satan says, I'll prove to you. You're not proving it to God. Who cares what Satan thinks? It's you who have to believe. And so what happens? You go through this life and you see yourself growing and you see more Christ and less of your own nature and you start thinking, I really am. I see the evidence. Christ is being formed in me. It's something that I can't do in myself because, brother and sister, you have some weaknesses. There's no way you can overcome. These things I'm saying, there are some things that you have or you've had in the past that you look at that and say, there's no way I will never overcome that. Why? Because it had too big of a deep of a hold in your spirit realm. But you know what happens? You keep yielding that to Christ and it gets weaker and weaker. And one day you walk around away from that, you look that thing in the eye and say, you will never control me again. And then you go out the rest of your life fighting it. But I don't like that. See, my own nature says, well, if I really overcome, shouldn't it just disappear? Shouldn't it just go away completely? That's what overcoming is. Some things is. Some things, that's exactly what happens. That thing that troubled you and bothered you, and one day God just takes it and completely takes it away from you. And you say, well, God, what about this? He said, no, I'm going to let you have that for a while. Why? That's how you get strong. That's how your faith, you build your faith muscles. You keep fighting, and this thing keeps coming, and you keep fighting. It keeps coming, you keep fighting. You keep denying. How do you fight? I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop doing that. No, that's not how you fight. Because then you're taking it your own ability, trying to fight your own ability. You overcome it by saying, God, you promised me. Oh, my. That's what he wants to hear. God, I fell to this again for the 10,000th time, but you promised me. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going on. I'm an overcomer because you said I was. It ain't, oh, I'm going to try harder next time. Just stop that. You're trying harder. Hasn't worked the last 10,000 times. Why do you think it's going to work this time? No, you confess the word. What does the word say about it? But Brother Phil, if I do that, I'm going to fall again. As if you haven't been falling all this time. You confess the word. God, you promised me to set me free. You died for this. This is why I'm believing. I'm going on. I'm going to live a victorious life. I'm only going to confess the word. I'm not going to confess how weak I am. I'm going to confess how strong I am. In Christ, I can do all things. And if tomorrow I go and follow that same thing, I'm going to do the same thing. God, you promised me. That's called faith. That's what pleases God. I can't tell you how many times I've done something. God, that's the last time. I'm never going to do that again. I'm just going to, next week, I'm never going to do that again. You know why I was that way for so long? I was under that kind of ministry for so long. And your own nature just naturally is that way to begin with. When Adam fell, what did he do? God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. No, he didn't. His fallen nature went and created a religion to cover up his sin. And so we try to live really holy lives to cover up all our mistakes. It's human nature. How do you overcome? You overcome when that feeling rises up inside you and you look it right in the eye and say, that ain't me. I am not going to react to that. And you know what happens? It loses its grip. It tries a different way. The next time it rises up again through a different way. And you look right at it and you say, man, that's tearing me up.
It's tearing my old nature up. Let it tear. But I don't like it. Well, of course you don't like it. Jesus didn't like being scourged. He didn't like hanging on the cross. He didn't like standing there before Pilate not saying anything. Of all the people who could have said something to shut them all up, he was the one who could have done it. He didn't even have to use words. He could have just said, angels, take care of this. Just nodded. And they would have took care of the whole situation. He had the power to do it. And he said, the way you do this, the way you overcome, is just shut up. And then, from the cross, he forgave them. Well, I'm struggling with forgiving somebody. Let's nail you up on a cross, see how much easier it gets. He is God, though. He died as a man. He felt exactly the way you would feel if you were hung from a cross. We don't have much excuses, folks. We like to defend ourselves. We like to defend our actions. We like to defend the attitudes we have. We like to defend all this stuff and try to justify it and justify it. There is no justification for defending your flesh, for defending your own nature. There is none. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Hang on a second. Changing circumstances isn't overcoming. Well, if this would just quit happening, or that would just quit happening, or this would just quit happening, that is not overcoming. Overcoming is overcoming in spite of the circumstances. When you don't react in an ungodly way. When you don't grieve the Holy Spirit because you love Him more than you love your own nature. That's overcoming. It's really that simple. We make it so hard. Oh, it is very difficult, but it's that simple. Well, if I pray enough, if I do this enough, brother and sister, just don't react. Well, that's easy to say. Yes, it is. I ain't saying it's easy. Dying to yourself is the hardest thing to do. But dying to yourself does not mean that you fight that thing in your own flesh. It means you take the word and take God at His word. That's how you die to it. See, we're all good at something. You know, I know people who are not Christians at all, but boy, they just was as calm as can be. Just naturally, they had a calm nature. And I'd get like envious. Man, how do you stay so calm? Just so chill. Well, they didn't overcome to get that. They were born with it, or they were raised with it. That's not overcoming. But I promise there's something else in their life that they had to overcome if they're going to be a Christian. Everyone has something. A lot of us had a lot of things. And the more mess you had being raised, the more mess you have to overcome. That's why good parenting is so important. You say, that's not fair. You bet it ain't fair. A kid who's been raised in an abusive home or bad home, they have so much more to overcome than someone who wasn't. But Jesus Christ is just as powerful for them as He is for anyone else. There's no excuse. We want to be like Jesus? That old nature has to die. It's got to die. Or you can battle evil with evil. Use your own nature to try and overcome that thing that's annoying you. Try to protect yourself. Try to control situations. That's terrifying to let go of control. It's terrifying to try and give up control. Because what's going to happen? If I put it in God's hand, what if He doesn't do it the way I want Him to? What if I put it in God's hands and He works things out wrong?
Scary, ain't it? Your old nature is scared. Because he might not let me marry that person I want to marry. Or he might not let me have the job I want. Or he might not let me live where I want to live. Or he might not deal with this situation. He might not have David sit down and quit shouting in church. If I trust God. Well, it's your choice, folks. You can trust him. Or you can control it yourself. But I promise you this. Before you take the rapture, you're going to trust him. Because this bride is without spot or wrinkle. She does not compromise on the word. She does not hybrid the word. She's pure. What a privilege it is to be in the bride of this day. And what a battle. You're going to fight the hardest battle. And you're going to fulfill the most word. That's who you are. So if you don't feel like being a soldier, don't worry about it. We ain't going by feelings. You're one anyways. I don't feel like fighting tonight, Brother Phil. You'll get over that too. You just do what you got to do in spite of your feelings. You might as well just go ahead and start recognizing something. If you're hanging around here, there's a good chance you're going in the rapture. Because God's getting rid of the people who aren't serious. God's getting rid of the people who aren't willing to go all the way. God's going to get rid of you because he's not going to have you defile this assembly. So if you're not serious, I recommend go live it up right now. Enjoy this life as hard as you can because you've got a short time. But if you want to be serious about God, you are the right place. Because he's getting serious. And all he's trying to do is reveal to you, to show you who you are. Because that's your battle. If we could get that past just a mental conception down into our hearts and let it start living out and proving to you who you are, you will start walking so victorious, brother and sister. Satan will bring something against you and you'll say, I have so much joy right now, and you want me to lust after that? Are you crazy? Get out of here. You'll turn your head. You walk away. Someone comes and says something to you, and you say, I'm in church, and someone just said, you know, what something that irritates me. I'm going to let that irritation bother me so I don't get something from church. I'm driving down the road, and someone drives real erratic and cuts me off and almost has a wreck, and I'm going to let that ruin the rest of my day. Folks, there's too much to live for, too much joy. What's happened? You're going to start saying, but I am going in a rapture, and I'm getting so close. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I love the peace that I have. I don't want to lose my good attitude just because of how someone else affects me. They don't control me. Or do they? If I come to church and I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying the service and David gets up and starts talking and it ruins my day, guess who's controlling me? First of all, it's not David. He ain't controlling you. He's just up here under the anointing of the Holy Spirit saying whatever the Holy Spirit gives him to say. You say, well, I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, he's under anointing of some spirit, and it's either the Holy Spirit or it's an evil spirit, but he still doesn't control you. You control it. You decide to have a bad attitude or not. It's your choice. You give yourself, your own nature, the right to be in control again. I'm glad you go to church here, Brother David, because I got something to preach on. It ain't an accident that he acts this way. It's for our benefit. To die to that old thing. As far as I know, Brother Jerry has never told David to calm down. I've never heard it. I mean, he might have. I don't know if he did. I've never heard him say it. Even before he was born again. So if he's been led by the Holy Spirit to be the pastor and he never told him to calm down, who is anyone else's business to tell him to calm down? But it hurts people's feelings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because their feelings are too big. You think it's okay to hurt people's feelings if you're led by the Holy Spirit? Jesus hurt Peter's feelings. Now don't go around hurting people's feelings. Well, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. You're just a jerk. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Overcoming. It's overcoming yourself. It's this old nasty person here. Now, if I want to let someone get mad at me and I sass them back, we're sassing, we're yelling at each other and screaming at each other, and they're controlling me and I'm controlling them through our own nature, your choice. But recognize how childish that is. So childish. So childish. In Philippians, Paul says this. Let's stand. I'm going to read this. Let's go ahead and stand so I can quit preaching. Paul says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if you do what Paul said, it's hard for you to sit at home and stew in your juices and get all wrought up and all tore up and have to get on the phone and complain about something because of what someone said or what someone did. Because if you're thinking on things that are true and pure and just, you put those thoughts aside, you forgive that person if there's forgiveness needed. If not, you just ignore it, and you think on things that are pure and holy and just and of a good report. Then you're not sitting at home all tore up about what's going on, but how someone treated you. Brother Phil, you're asking for a lot. I ain't asking for it. The Holy Spirit is asking for it. He says, I love you, but you keep grieving me away with all your nasty little pettiness. And then you come to church and you want me to take care of that situation. I am taking care of it by leaving you in it until you overcome. That's how I'm taking care of it. I'm not going to take that away. That's bothering you so much. You get to sit there and deal with it until you overcome it. Then I'll take it away after you don't even care anymore. That's the way God does things. We want him to be like a big brother, a big daddy comes out and say, no, listen, you don't mess with my kids. He don't do that until it's time. You know what they used to do when you get bullied in school? You know what your dad would tell you? That kid bully you, punch him in the nose. You can't tell your kids that anymore because they punch them in the nose, they get kicked out of school no matter if they're being bullied. You know what they tell you to do now? Go tell. Go tell on someone so someone will step up and say, stop bullying. That's how we try to do it with the world now, our government thinks. If we just be nice to people and tell them to stop bullying, they will quit killing us, morons. You know what God's children do? You know what God tells his kids? Devil's bothering you? Devil's bullying you a little bit? Punch him in the nose. I gave you a sword to fight with. Quit whining to me. Take me at my word and chop his head off. That's your head, by the way. It's your own nature. Use a sword against your own nature, not your brother. You're the one who has to die. Well, he's not dying. That ain't your business. Your business is dying to yourself. Take this word and chop and hack yourself to death. Tell you what, that's freedom there. There's freedom. And you walk down the street and there's just, it's a different atmosphere. And tomorrow you fall into a little trap and you go through the whole thing again. Praise God, that's why we have church. Are you happy? You encouraged, you ready to go and keep fighting this battle? Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight and listening. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that you would be here tonight, that you would encourage us. You show us your will. You show us the way you raise kids. You teach us to fight. When the devil is a bully against us, you don't want us to come running to you and whining and crying. You want us to stand up for our own self and take your word and to slay the enemy. Punch him in the nose. Die to the old self. Lord, just help us to walk in this word. Let it stay with us. Let it become part of us. Let us press this battle, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to go with us tonight, the rest of this week. We ask you to bring us back Sunday morning ready to press the battle, Lord. And whether we get defeated over and over between now and then or if we walk in victory, it doesn't matter. We'll come to church waiting to hear from you again, Lord. We'll come and we'll bring our sorry selves to church if we've been defeated. And we'll take you at your word and we'll walk forth victorious. We thank you for this, Lord. Amen. Just so we got this straight, when I say you punch that boy in the nose, you're punching your own nature. How do you do that? Let it hurt. He hurt my feelings. Okay. That's how you punch it, folks. Let it hurt. Let it take the punch. And then you forgive it and you walk away. Brother Phil, you make that way too simple. No, it's very simple. It's just very difficult to do that. So. Because your old life in there, that old nature, doesn't want to die. Doesn't want to die. Do you want to come up here, Brother Nate? Let me have Brother Nate come up and lead a few songs. God bless you. I enjoy preaching to y'all. Most of the time. When I have to rake it a little hard, I don't enjoy that so much. But you guys are good listeners, and I appreciate you. God bless you. See you Sunday.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Oh.